Siddhacharan Gandharver, Munibhischa Sparo Gunaihi, Stuyamana Sumudrena, Datarhana Niketana, Siddha, by the Siddhas, Charana, by the Charanas, Gandharvaihi, by the Gandharvas, Munibhihi, by the Munis, Cha, and Apsara Ganaihi, by the Apsaras, damsels of the heavenly planets, Stuyamana, being extolled, Samudrena, by the ocean, Datta, given, Arhana, oblations, Niketana, place of residence. The place where Devahuti achieved her perfection, my dear Vidura, is understood to be a most sacred spot. It is known all over the three worlds as Siddhapada. Dear Vidura, the material elements of her body have melted into water and are now a flowing river, which is the most sacred of all rivers. Anyone who bathes in that river also attains perfection, and therefore all persons who desire perfection go bathe there. My dear Vidura, the great sage Kapila, the personality of Godhead, left his father's hermitage with the permission of his mother and went towards the northeast. While he was passing in the northern direction, all the celestial denizens known as Charanas and Gandharvas, as well as the Munis and the damsels of the heavenly planets, prayed and offered him all respects. The ocean offered him oblations and a place of residence. Purport. It is understood that Kapila Muni first went towards the Himalayas and traced the course of the river Ganga. And he came to the delta of the Ganges at the sea now known as the Bay of Bengal. The ocean gave him residence at a place still known as Ganga Sagara, where the river Ganga meets the sea. That place is called Ganga Sagara Tirtha, and even today people gather there to offer respects to Kapiladev, the original author of the Shankya system of philosophy. Unfortunately, the Shankya system has been misrepresented by an impostor who is also named Kapila. But that other system of philosophy does not tally with anything described in the Shankya of Kapila in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the glory we see here is due to the situation in God consciousness. God consciousness is something special. All other kind of opulences are there. All other kind of specialness is there, for which one may be glorified, for which one may be appreciated. But we see as all these aspects are temporary and depend upon the particular individual at the time. Now it's one thing is popular, after some time another thing is popular. So all these other aspects are temporary. Though someone may be recognized, but what they're recognized for, why, you know, what people will do with that is another thing. But here then we see that Devahuti and her son Kapila, then they are glorified for their actual situation in God consciousness. Right? The description of God consciousness and the understanding and practice of God consciousness. This is then what makes them special, what makes them unique. So Kapila Muni has described this Shankya system, the Shankya Yoga. And we see that it's so perfect that his mother is able to take it, apply it, and become God conscious. And it wasn't a stress for her, we see. It was natural. It was comfortable. mentions that she didn't even worry about the body. She didn't worry about, you know, taking care nicely, or, you know, if her hair was not combed or this or that, because she had taken full shelter of the Supreme Lord. So if that shelter is fully there, one doesn't worry about these things. Right? You see a small child, they're not worried about, you know, what goes on, because the parents are taking care. And so it doesn't matter to them. You know, parents do whatever needs to be done, and they take care. I mean, they take care, so the child doesn't have to worry about it, because that full shelter is there, that full surrender is there. So we see as Devahuti had no interest in the material sphere, and had fully taken shelter in the spiritual. So therefore, she was fully sheltered and fully comfortable. Therefore, she wasn't worried about any results on the material platform. Anybody thinks she's not well taken care of, she's disheveled, she didn't care. Because there was nothing to gain here for her. Right? One goes into a social situation, one feels one will gain something, then one is very careful about how one looks, what one does, who one interacts with. Right? But if one's not worried, it's a situation that you have no interest in, you don't bother at all. So we see is that her absorption was so complete, she had no worries on this side. Right? She was completely situated, very comfortably. So that means that the system works very nicely. If it works for her, right, why won't it work for anyone else? So we see is that it's the first full, you know, it's the, how you say, it's the next step. The second canto is given the technicalities, the basis of the system. And then it is applied in great detail, you know, and according to how the mind and the senses and the intelligence and everything within the material sphere interacts with each other. Right? But the basis is that it's connection to the Lord. So coming to that platform, then she was very comfortable. And so then she was able to move on. And her perfection then is appreciated by others. Others then, her becoming perfect like this, the same spot where she became perfect, that river there, then people come to try to improve their development. And Kapila Muni, then he is going, and he is respected by everyone. So we see here the Munis, right? So we could say, okay, yes, you know, he's there, very austere, gave the Shankya system, so, you know, all the great sages of the universe appreciate. But it also mentions others, right? It also mentions the Charanas, right? Charanas are the ones who can dance for 72 hours straight. Gandharvas can sing for 72 hours straight. And the Gandharva ladies. Right? So the Munis on one side are appreciating the artists on the other and the women. So everybody's appreciating. Right? So that's the position. So it's not just, okay, you know, some names were given just to, you know, make it sound good. You have to fill it out. Okay, he made the verse, the shloka, but he was, you know, a few words short. So then he threw in Charanas and Gandharvas. It matched nicely. It was a good poem, a good rhythm. No, it's because this is the position. The devotee, Supreme Lord, is appreciated by everybody. That's the thing. It's not something else, because something else always changes. Something else always adjusts. This thing is always there. It's the nature of the soul. Every living entity can relate to it. That aspect everybody can appreciate. You have great material skills or not, if you're cultured, people will appreciate that. Right? If you're very religious, people will appreciate that. Right? So even if there's a little culture or a little religion, everyone will glorify. But if you want to be materially skilled, you better be really good, otherwise nobody cares. Are you in Forbes? No? Hey, who cares? You know? Who ever heard of you? But someone's a little religious, a little kind, a little cultured, then their fame spreads. It's mentioned in the Manu that the fame of a king who has good character then spreads like a drop of oil on water. You put a drop of oil on water, it spreads, you know, all across a very large area. But he says if he has no good character, though he may be materially very expert, then his fame is like a drop of ghee in water. Right? Because ghee, when it touches water, it solidifies and drops to the bottom of the pond. Like that. So character is always the element. Character and connection with God consciousness, that's the perfection. So this is then, we see, is appreciated here by, you know, all the different personages. And so, yeah, like that. Any questions on this? Yes, sir. Very clever. I see. Okay, so repeat the question. Question is that it said that he went to the Himalayas and traced the course of the Ganga, but we know from later pastimes that the Bhagirathi only came after Sagar Maharaj invited her and got her to come, then only it came down to that place. So how is it that he followed the path of the Ganga before the Ganga was manifest? Here's the element is that these pastimes, all these kind of things are always going on. So then the path of the Ganga will already be there, will already be established, and the Supreme Lord, you know, would be knowing such things. So then he would follow such a path. And then later on, that would come there. Because if he wasn't sitting at the mouth of the Ganga, how would the Ganga come down there? You know, it's like if he was sitting on top of the, in the Himalayas or down in the, it's the next ones down, Madhya Pradesh. Not Ujjain. It's the big mountains, but then Vindhyas, you know, then it couldn't come. So he has to be sitting in a place where it come. Because you see, as on Aryavarta is from the Indian Ocean, goes from the Indian Ocean to the Bay of Bengal. But basically you have mountains on both sides. You have the Himalayas on one side and the other Vindhyas and others on the other. So that plains in between, that's Aryavarta. So then naturally if the Ganga will come, then it will come down that way. So the Lord would know that. So it makes it even more auspicious that she would be willing to come. The same class. Oh. Wow. See? So this is the theory. It's always, there's a cycle, right? Life is a cycle. So it's going around in these same things like that. You know. Okay. He traced rather than followed. Okay. Then you fill it in. Okay. So Janani Vas Prabhu has made the point that, like, some years ago, then when we went through this canto before, somehow or another, I gave the same class on the same verse, and he asked the same question. And then, I guess, as in now, being dissatisfied with the answer, then someone else he asked, and they said by going through it, then the technical word uses traced. So tracing is something you do before something is accomplished. So you trace in the thing, then you fill it in. So it's not saying he followed the path of the Ganges, but he traced the path. So then he walked the path that the Ganga then would follow later. Like that. That was who? Satyanarayan? Oh, Shatadanya. Okay, so then I guess all those eggplants helped. The river her body turned in, it doesn't say here specifically. No, it doesn't say specifically. No, it doesn't say. Mahabharat might mention it, because in there when the Pandavas go on pilgrimage, then they go to everything. It's like, I don't know, 20, 30 pages of definition of all the holy places. So it might be mentioned there. like that. I'm not sure. On whether she, you know, what was the method of her becoming the river, it mentions here that she, it says, she melted into the river. It means her, the material elements of her body melted into water, like that. Because then through meditation you can move one element into another. You know, generally you take it, the earth back into the water, water into fire, fire into air, air into ether, like this, then into mind, intelligence, ego, and that into the polluted consciousness, into pure consciousness, then one's on the spiritual side, like that. So, you know, these things can happen like that. It doesn't give much, the acharyas don't give a purport, so it doesn't seem to be, the principle is, these are, you know, side points that may be explained in another place. Here the main point is showing her perfection at following the instructions and the appreciation of Kapila Muni. You know, it means that the Supreme Lord is an incarnation as Kapila Muni in giving these instructions. I mean, he's the Supreme Lord, so he could be glorified for so many things. But the specifics, he's glorified due to his giving of instructions. So it's the instruction that is actually the practical thing that makes it work. Like that. He comes, you know, Krishna, his beauty, his different activities, they attract the mind. So in attracting the mind, then that, by that contemplation, then one has a need to be absorbed in the Lord. Right? So that absorption then will generate the action. So in here then with Devahuti, then that proper knowledge, that gained the inspiration that this is something she can do. Right? She wasn't thinking, well, I can't do this. She's thinking, I can do this. So with that confidence, then she attempts to come to, I mean, she makes the practice to come to the platform of becoming God conscious so that she can actually eternally then reside with her son. Because as Devahuti, that manifestation is not a eternal one, right? So, but she can go to that planet, that Kapila Vaikuntha, and then she can remain there. You know, just like Bhishma goes to the planet of Chuta, like this, and how you say, Hiranyakashipu, you know, to Nisringa, you know, Vaikuntha, like this. So they all are able to. Yeah, it mentions in Nisringa Purana, I think, that, you know, he's there, you know, Prahlad's on one side and he's there on the other side, you know. You know, and it, he has that, the form of a demon, but he's a devotee, right, you know, like that. So. Okay, Jananivasa's point on the merging into the water. Then, that in the beginning, we see of the canto, then she has, after performing her austerities, then became very thin. Then when Kapila Kardama was pleased with her, then he arranged for her to be in the Ganga. I mean, in the, what is that? Bindu Sarovar. So into the Bindu Sarovar. And in this Sarovar, then there were 2,000 of these maidservants. Then they took care of her. And in taking care of her, then she got her health back, the whole, you know, in other words, her form came from that situation. And we see just a few verses back then, one of the aspects, she's just absorbed in the Supreme Lord, but those same maidservants are taking care of her. Right? They're also taking care. So then, Jananivasa Prabhu is bringing out the point, then her health and form has come from that situation in the water, so it naturally can just go back into that situation. I guess that would also narrow down the points of looking for the river. It's got to be something connected with Bindu Sarovar. Yes. Is it the same Bindu Sarovar as an Orissa that I know of? It's the same. Yeah, Bhubaneswar, that side. Why would it be considered... Okay, so as Mother Yashoda and Devaki don't have to perfect themselves, they're already Mother of the Lord. So why would Devahuti? And here is, it will be according to a pastime, because we see others, you know, perfecting themselves. But now here we have an example of, you know, a mother perfecting herself like that. Just like God doesn't need to go to school, but he does, you know, to establish. So we see many brahmacharis performing austerities, gaining whatever they like, even occasionally brahmacharinis doing, or we see young couples. But now here is someone after the last, you know, in the stages of vanaprastha. And so then, you know, it's just the pastime. So this instruction is there. And then by following that, then she shows that one can come to that platform. Not that it changes her relationship with her son. That aspect remains. But what will change will be, our ability to take something and apply in her life. Because otherwise you see, you know, great personalities doing big, big austerities and that, or, you know, meditation for 60,000 years, or, you know, Dhruva Maharaj living just on air, or stuff like this. So then one could ask, well, what could I do? Like this. So then this is being given here, because we see throughout the canto that Prabhupada keeps referring to the knowledge of the second canto. And this is how a grihastha can perfect their grihastha ashram. Right? In other words, how the grihastha ashram is engaged in the Lord's service. So the devotee will be performing a sadhana, and that's not grihastha ashram. Right? That's just devotional service. But outside of his sadhana, then he has the activities of his ashram. So now he could rely simply on good sadhana, and other than, you know, taking prasadam and you know, a few pictures of Krishna like this, then he may be relying on his sadhana for his perfection. And if one is focused enough on it, it takes the predominance, that can work. So then the grihastha ashram becomes an environment in which he is able to perform his sadhana. But if one is very much absorbed in the elements of the grihastha ashram, then to perfect that ashram itself, the ashram itself needs to be connected. That's not sadhana. That means itself has got to be connected. The man is married because he likes to be with women. He likes to have children. He likes to have his independence. He likes to have his own things and facilities and opulence. That's the grihastha ashram, not his japa and other things like that. So that, connecting that to the Lord, that's given in second canto, and that's given by Kapila Muni. So then that aspect of Devahuti then taking that as a grihastha and then perfecting that, then shows that through any medium you can get to Krishna if it's connected to Krishna. That's the point. So the brahmachari ashram, you can connect it to Krishna using the second canto. The grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, any of those can be connected through that method. Right? Second canto isn't specifically the method you use for perfecting your sadhana. You know, there it's you hear nicely without offenses. But if you're not hearing nicely or you're being offensive, that's coming from the material plane. Then you can use that, what the technicality is given in the second and third canto. Like that, then you can perfect that. In other words, the form of it, the skill of it, those are perfected through these material techniques. Well, the other is simply you just increase that desire, increase that dedication, commitment to the devotional process. That's actually what you're looking for. That will perfect it. You know, the devotional service will be perfected by desiring to perfect it. Like that. You don't desire, it won't happen. Like that. Krishna reciprocates. As you surrender, he reciprocates. You want to develop your love for him, then it will move that way. You just want to chant your rounds without being distracted, you'll get that. But not necessarily get Krishna. Right? Because you wanted to not be distracted. You didn't want to develop love. Right? So then if that's there, then you can think, okay, well then, my chanting's perfect, I'm hearing the name, why isn't I not developing? Then you could look at it, okay, you're hearing the name, but what's your relationship with the name? So there's something wrong in the sambandha, right? You know, okay, I am performing the religious activity properly, and I perfected that, but why is it still I'm not tasting something? It's because taste comes in a relationship. And so you have gotten rid of the material disturbances, so you're happy because of that. But there's no further happiness because the soul needs to be in a relationship. So therefore, you can analyze that I'm not having a relationship with the holy name. So I'm not chanting for the pleasure of the name. I'm not chanting for, understand that it's non-different from him. And as soon as you add that, since you've already come to this other material aspect of perfection, moving forward will be very quickly. But until you've done that, it won't work. While if someone else is simply thinking it's Krishna and this and that, even though they're not so expert at chanting, they'll move forward because of that power of the devotional service, though their material skill is very minimal. That's the beauty of devotional service. Whether you're materially skilled or not, it will work. If you can combine the two, then it works very fast, because then there's no material distraction. But if one is not very materially distracted, then and one is able to focus on the devotional, that will move very quickly. So as much as you have material absorption, to that degree, the techniques for engaging it should be applied, right? But if one's not, in other words, the more one's materially sophisticated, the more one has to use the devotional aspects that deal with the sophistication. You know, all these different little things. And if one doesn't, it doesn't matter. That's why life, the simpler you keep it, the easier, like that. Then you have less things to try to connect. Okay, it's another aspect that comes in. In other words, for the material logic, you have to have something. Like Krishna's born, right? He's unborn, but you still have to have born. You know, he dies, you know, but he doesn't. He's eternal. So in the same way as that there was a line, then you mentioned about Devaki and Vasudev. But in their previous birth, then they were Devahuti and Kardama. In their previous birth, then they were Krishna. Who is it? Prishni and Sutapa. Like that. So then they were the parents of the Lord for three births. You know, so that seems to be like that. So then you have that aspect also. If someone wants, you know, if you need an answer on that side, then that's they have it. But otherwise, each time it's a perfection. But at the same time as then, you know, they come and do all these different activities.
Yes, you make it part of the Grasa Ashram. But where are you from?
Pune.
Okay. So now, are there people in Pune who are doing all the duties of Grihastha Ashram and not doing any sadhana? Yes. So that means you have to make it part of. You know what I'm saying? What I'm making the point is that because you're chanting your japa, that doesn't engage your attachment to your wife in Krishna's service, or your attachment to your nice car, or to your suit, or to your position in your business, or to your iPhone. You understand?
So is a separate thing that you put in anything else?
Yes, point is in the Grihastha Ashram you have the family interactions and you have your devotional service. Right? So for a brahmachari, he only has devotional service. He doesn't have anything outside of that, but a Grihastha does. So that has to be engaged, that has to be addressed. Otherwise, one will think, I went to the temple all morning and then came home at 9, took my breakfast and went to work and now I'm done. But what about from 9 o'clock until the next morning, 6 o'clock when you go to the temple? So that 21 hours, how is that engaged? That's engaged by this process. Okay?
Okay, so in a previous class we made the point that someone who can see the real tree can understand the tree in the water, the reflection. While some persons contaminated by material intelligence would say that someone like Prabhupada knows the spiritual but doesn't know the material. Because he's from the spiritual world, what would he know of material? But our answer to that was, if you know the real tree, then you know the tree here. So that would be saying is that Prabhupada knows how to do things here properly. Now, the question comes is that someone may say, well, Prabhupada was doing business, this, that, but business wasn't going so well. So then we can say he doesn't know things so nicely. But the point is then what actually is the reason someone gets result for something in this world? Why is the businessman very wealthy? Why is he getting result?
simply because he followed the technicalities of business, is it? He needs to have the karma, because otherwise it was simply the skill. Then why is it every person who does business on the planet isn't fabulously wealthy? You think the guy down at the little pawn stall on the corner doesn't want to be a billionaire? Right? But it's, he's only able to, you know, be a pawnwala. You know, otherwise he'd have an international pawn franchise, right? You know, but why doesn't he? Because he can run one shop. Right? It's the karma. So that means then, karma means that is the control by higher authorities. So according to your work, then the higher authorities respond. According to your desire, then they respond. Okay? So now, in this case, then the material energy, you know, does the day-to-day controlling of karma. But who controls Maya? Who sanctions what Maya does? Krishna. So then Krishna's in a higher position. So if Prabhupada's working for Krishna, then that would mean he does his activities and the results come according to what Krishna wants. Because you can say whatever you like. Devotees can jump up and down, you know, and say, well, Prabhupada wasn't so expert, therefore we have to change things. But in his time, in 11 years, he established 108 flourishing temples that had more, one temple had more money practically than taking all our temples together than today. Right? Prabhupada's here, he said he had a palace in every city. He had a place there. He had all these things. So much opulence was there. People just willing to do work, service, and this and that. People were surrendered. Today we don't see that. So those who want to make these comments and change things, let them do it, but they're losers themselves as it is. Otherwise they wouldn't say that, because someone who is a winner in this, even in the material world, can appreciate what Prabhupada did. Even if he's a pure materialist, he'll appreciate. So only a loser will try to make these kind of comments. You understand? So it's not a path worth taking. You have your own ideas. One's not surrendered to the scriptures. One doesn't have faith in it. One's own mundane logic can't actually have entrance into the Vedic principle. And you're not willing to make that surrender and devotional endeavor to do that, then you want to say that you want to legalize or rationalize your line of thought. So to do that, you have to say that Prabhupada's line wasn't good. So besides being a loser, one is not even an individual. Because an individual, he has confidence in what he does. He does it. He doesn't care less if anyone else does it or not. So if you're dependent upon everybody else has to be doing what you're doing to have the confidence to do what you're doing, then you know, you lack confidence. You know, so you're not an individual. You're not this, that. Though you claim, well, it's my idea, my feeling. But so what? You have to have it validated by everyone else. So it would not be a strong position to put oneself in. In other words, try other things. Try, it doesn't make sense. It seems contradictory. I don't understand it. Then you can get explanations. This is what Arjuna did. Arjuna is an intelligent person. He told Krishna that some of the things Krishna was saying seemed to be contradictory. Right? But he's not saying it's wrong. He's just saying it seems to be contradictory. Could you explain this? Because when you're dealing with relationship, it means contradiction. Relationship means it's two things that have nothing to do with each other. You have a blender, right? And you have a tomato. Okay? Now, does the tomato and the blender have anything in common? Right? Similar genes, you know, family pool, they came from the same shop. You know what I'm saying? You know, I guess you could say they're both a little shiny, maybe, you know, that's like that. You know what I'm saying? You know, there's an inside and outside, a top and bottom. Okay, maybe there's some common. But do they have anything in common? No, it's a contradiction. But the two of them go nicely together if you're trying to make the tomato into, you know, into juice. You understand? Does a hammer and nail have anything in common? No. But there's something common, that there's a relationship. So relationship means contradictory. So then to jump up and down about it's contradictory means one doesn't have relationship. Right? Who are the most worried about this? Scientists. And they're the ones that have the least understanding of relationship. I don't know if you've ever met them, but
all these, you know, quantum physicists, this, that, all these people are really into science. They really lack on the social level. I mean, when it comes to family relationships, this, that, they're terrible most of the time. Really terrible. Really, really terrible. You know? Why? Because everything has to, they can't handle any contradiction. Right? And material world means contradiction. You know what I'm saying? So they can deal with it if it's numbers, but if it has feelings, that's a problem. You know? You know, it's like, you know, you have the chaos theory, they've written it all down, great, but all those numbers have feelings, and that's over their head. Another approach to Prabhupada's not so good in the material world because he has to try things out. Okay, so now, let us say Krishna is trying to get into Radharani's house. Okay? So he thinks he will go in through the window from the outside. So he climbs up the tree there. But seeing that it's winter, you know, it's cold, the window's closed and the curtains are drawn. So now what does he do? He has to find another route, right? So does that now somehow or another reduce Krishna's... Is perfection just you sit there, you know everything, and you don't have to do anything, and it's something out of some 1980s science fiction movie? You know what I'm saying? Is that perfection? That is a material concept of perfection, but it has nothing to do with relationships. Because people who think like that don't have relationships. Point is it's working out the contradictions that's the taste in the relationship. Right? The mother is sitting there, and the child is crying and hungry. Is the mother hungry? No. Is the mother crying? No. So does that mean she can't work out what the kid's doing? You know what I'm saying? Is it this... it's the relationship that's there. So does she? It's a problem for her? No. That's what's the relationship, is that she can take care of the needs of the child. You know what I'm saying? So it's not that she has a need so much. It's the working out. It's the connection between her as a mother and the child. It's the connection that is the relationship. That's where the taste is. So this idea that if anything doesn't work and everything, then there's something wrong. No, it's just a matter of you do whatever needs to be done. The point is you're working on this principle. Okay. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jainatai Govura Premanandi.